Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 87 of the Xbox Hall of Gamers podcast. This week, I've joined, you'll notice Neo's not here, but I have my wonderful other three-letter guests here.
Welcome, and good evening.
So this week we're pretty much just going to be us two. We're going to be talking about the Gauntlet Gold community event. A little bit of news. I wouldn't say there's too much that really stands out, but there's a lot of small bits.
There's a lot of little things.
Yeah, a lot of little things. We'll be talking through community questions and then, yeah, just having a good time. If you're listening to this, you might be watching us live on Twitch, which is Twitch at Xbox Hall of Gamers, or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that nice jazz. Anyway, I'm just going to go straight into the community questions. All right,
let's go for it.
Hey guys, I've really enjoyed the Walking Dead series on Game Pass through xCloud. The touch controls work great on the first game, but are a bit difficult in parts on future iterations. Still, they are playable. However, for the last season, they decided to completely change how they make the games and fill the game missable achievements and collectibles that are easy to miss. So you pretty much need to play it with a guide open at all times if you want the achievements. Is this something anybody actually enjoys? Do you like following a guide the whole time you play a game? Or do you prefer to just play the game and clean up afterward, like me? Can you think of any games you actually enjoyed playing with a guide open? Thanks for the show. And that's, of course, from our questionnaire extraordinaire, Isaac. You have any thoughts off the bat?
Well, pretty much the main thing for me is I will play through as much of the story as I can until you get to like an open world area or something like that. And then when it's kind of free reign just to do whatever you want, because a lot of these big open world games just kind of leave you hanging for a little while just in the open world. I pull up like an interactive map for the collectibles, knock out everything kind of on the map, and just see if there's anything missable pretty much. So I'll go to xboxachievements.com and just look at their little overviews of some of their older guides. So they don't do a lot of guides these days, but I just do kind of like the summary. This is how you get all the achievements, and are you going to miss anything along the way? And then I'm always only really looking for missables, if there is or isn't, before I look at, into that stuff. So
yeah, it depends on the context. There's certain missables that,
yeah,
like if it's like a small guide and all that, I can do it with a guide open. If it's something that's like, you know, 10 hours plus, I kind of want to just enjoy the game, but I won't, like, I'll still check the missables if it's going to be detrimental to me, like, down the line. With the Walking Dead series, there's kind of Telltale games, like, you're basically, like, if you're playing for xCloud and all that, from the beginning kind of games, you kind of just expect them to be, you know, just normal playthroughs.
Yeah,
I hate that they did like the fourth game or the final season as a missable thing.
They were kind of strung into that though, because it wasn't really them that made it. So, yeah, you know, was it Sky?
Partly. I think that the template was still there.
Yeah,
they had the new engine, and then it was a case of everything kind of fell apart. But it depends on the game. It depends on what kind of missables they are. Like, if it's something that, if it's an 100-hour like RPG and you got missables, then I'm like very hesitant to start it. It really comes down to the context of the game. I was going to say, going through...
I mean, like Crackdown, right? So Crackdown's a good example of... It had some really specific stuff you had to do. I don't remember exactly, but you had to do like a combination of stuff. But it had a huge amount of collectibles as well. So if you're only going to play the game once, man, it's just like, well, you either do or you don't. You have to know if you need to play it a second time, I think, at least. So...
pretty much like when Isaac asked this question, a lot of sentiment was essentially it's the latter. You know, I'd rather, like Bulbasaur, I'd rather enjoy the game and do cleanup. Simone for the Xbox Cast of Creed. Mikael, if it has missed wolves, I'd rather watch the guide. Most games are not worth a second playthrough.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if I'm there for this, like, unless I'm doing a second playthrough for an alternative story or something, like, it's a good example. What was that JRPG that was like one side was male, one side was female? The one that was in Game Pass that got announced during Scarlet
I didn't.
Nexus. Scarlet
Oh,
Nexus.
okay. I didn't play any of those, so I wouldn't know. I guess another good example is one of the things I've been playing. My spoiler for later, I started Brothers, and that has mostly missables. And then there's one achievement that's like you have to do something in chapter one that affects something in chapter four, even though there's only like 12 achievements in that game. So,
What else was there? Yeah, missable achievements, just they're kind of just the bane of my existence, in all honesty. If there are certain missable achievements in a stack of collectibles, I'm going to have to guide a walkthrough. Like, yeah, I think most of the sentiments are essentially the same. When I talk to devs, I try and tell, like, I just say, like, yeah,
Oh, yeah.
this
So, what
don't
is
put
your ultimate d advice for devs with this stuff then?
missable, like, I'm okay with cleanup. I like a good, like, go for the story, get 80% of the achievements, and then clean up
And
my
then
own files.
that's what I'm saying. Like you kind of when once you're left to kind of if you leave like the last very last mission hanging or something like that, and you just go do everything else. And then you're like, it looks nice and clean, everything's kind of done, you can move on, do the last mission, stuff like that.
And,
So
like, it would be achievements that are, like, you know, kill multiple characters or do something special. They're usually less, but yeah.
And then I leave guides for like stuff I've missed for a second playthrough if I have to.
Yeah,
So
I very much prefer games where I know I can get through without a guide, and then if I have to look at a guide for a particular achievement after, that's fine.
okay,
There
but
might be
what
like
about
secret areas, that kind of stuff.
bit of a spin on the old paper guide then? What about video guides? How do you feel about that? Because that's
I
slightly
usually use
different
video
than just
guides.
following a... You mostly use video guides?
Yeah, I know Matt's the case of he much prefers the text guide, I believe. But video, I mean, we all know the saying, "A picture tells a thousand words." I would much rather be able to mirror the experience of another player if they're going for like 100% playthrough, and like that's not taking away from the story or anything for me, because you're still taking it at the same time. Whereas in a text kind of guide, you can kind of read ahead. Like, sometimes you may need to, but I just find like doing video side by side is a lot easier for me.
So you kind of have a second screen or whatever.
I ultimately pretty much game like 95% of the time from my desk with my dual monitors. So it's like left game, right guide. Whereas in like you can have others like that have been on the podcast that have like, you know, 50, 60 inch screens. And I don't blame them for wanting to play on that, but I mean, this is just preferential. I would rather have like everything to a, like not a small screen, but to a smaller screen.
What about specific achievements then? Like just itty bitty bits of, one-off achievements and stuff like that for guides, specific guides.
Well, it depends on the game. But like if it is a case of like I'll look at an achievement list beforehand and then I'll kind of make an educated guess most of the time, but it really just depends on the game. Usually, you know, sometimes there won't be a guide and all that, and you just have to experiment a bit. Sometimes it's just achievements are straight out broken. But
I tend to just tab open. I'll just look at the missables and then just tab open those achievements and make sure I don't miss them. So,
Yeah, I hope that that answers the question, Isaac. I
Or gives you some ideas.
What's that?
Or gives you some ideas
Yeah.
how you're gonna do your game playing.
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see what other games you do using xCloud. Because I think like Walking Dead series and those kind of like early Telltale games are really good options. Yeah, I think David was saying like what are the achievements like for the Expanse? I wasn't even aware that the Expanse came out until I saw a Twitch ad like not too long ago today. Like it's completely flown under my radar.
Yeah, I followed a couple of circles that did reviews for them, but yeah, generally there's not a whole lot of buzz. It's very specific. I don't know how it ties to the show, and I've not seen the shows, so.
Think there was another conversation that kind of stemmed off this too, regarding difficulty-based achievements, which I think are fine. Stuff like I think it was Monster changed his name to do that long writes long reviews, was saying like
Yeah.
I understand the existence of difficulty-related achievements and they can be really rewarding if you beat the game in hard difficulty, but stuff like Mein Leben's a little bit ridiculous as well.
Yeah, well, that time-based stuff is also a real problem. You can't stick around if you've got to go from A to B within a certain time in like a action game or something, then you're really stuck not being able to look at a guide. So
I like rewarding, like I like systems that reward players for trying.
oh, yeah.
Like even if it is hitting your head at the brick wall, I don't like systems that punish players for trying. Like, you know, one death runs and that kind of stuff.
They're not all bad, though, those one death ones. So
I mean,
they're all right.
it depends on the game, but something like Wolfenstein 2, it's just that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why we quote Mein Leben.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe I should put that on my list next after this Need for Speed stuff that I've been doing.
Man, there's so many games that I just want to really challenge myself, and I just run
Yeah.
out of time.
Yeah.
But
Man, I haven't finished a single Dark Souls game. They're like a good example.
man, do Remnant. Get three people together, do Remnant.
Yeah,
It's
right.
Dark
Yeah.
Souls with guns.
I don't have access to Remnant, so I'll have to
You
look at
can.
that.
I'm saying it like $10 at JB.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it cheap.
Yeah,
So.
just pick it up. Just pick it up. All right, cool. We'll get into the news then. Yeah, a lot of little stories of the week. First thing straight off the bat, which I know a few people are excited for. Xbox insiders can stream games to Discord with the coming soon to all feature. With the feature coming soon to all, sorry. So yeah, from today,
Yes.
Xbox insiders can stream games to Discord with wider availability coming soon. This is like one of the most requested features. I know, like when we were talking to Adrian the other day, he like was immediately like really excited for it.
Yeah, so what kind of the person do you think this really is for then?
Adrian.
I know,
I
'cause
mean,
like you've got people that well, I guess Adrian he just finds random Discord channels that have like a live section and then just streams in there. So I guess if he can do it directly from his Xbox.
I think there's some appeal for certain games. I think there's some appeal when it comes to, you know, maybe you're not the streamer kind of type. You don't want to broadcast on Twitch or YouTube, but you still want to showcase the game with your friends. I know, like when we were playing Exoprimal last night, Island loves to, you know, like we'll be in there chatting with each other, and Island will chuck up a stream or whatever he's playing. It's game promotion at the same time,
Yeah,
in a
yeah.
way. So I think that's the kind of like, it's those kind of communities where, you know, maybe a few people get together and chat at night, and then they're just, you know, they have a stream up or whatever they're playing. What
Yeah.
about you?
I
What do
mean,
you think?
well, actually, yeah, as soon as I saw this, I immediately thought, Hog Event games gone with gold. I could do my division runs without having to go live, basically. So, I mean, it definitely has its place. So, yeah.
I mean, sometimes
So.
you just jump into a channel in Discord and just chat with people, and it's fine. Like, you know, like for our community, at least everybody in there is in there for a, you know, because they have an achievement hunter mindset. It
Yeah.
might not be, it might be different, varying niches of that achievement hunting mindset, but.
Actually, something I know with the Zynimus, which is in chat at the moment, he's had trouble with basically he runs on 5G for a lot of his stuff because his location doesn't have very good like actual built-in internet anywhere. But he tried to watch some of my streams one day, and the only thing he could get he was using Twitch, and he'd only have one option, and it was What I don't know, you're if you can remember that, Zach, is it was it 1080p, I think, and it was too much for him, or it was running at 1440p or something. I think it was running at 1080p and it just wasn't letting him like interact with it a bit. And I said, look, try YouTube and then you'll actually get the option to bump down your quality. Like there's no option to bump down your quality under the conditions that he was under in his with his connection. So it really depends like how they're going to vet that, or if you have to just whatever resolution from your console and then get that streaming into the Discord.
I'm not too sure. I just thought of another scenario though. Like we already had the voice chat coming, which allows, certain more
Moderation.
quiet, yeah, moderation. I was gonna say the point I was thinking of was crossplay. Like those systems where you can't be in an Xbox party together. You had those Discord calls, so you could be playing your mates on PlayStation, but I think this is very useful. Like, you wanna see what your friend is streaming, but
That's actually a good sell
you're not on
because
a
it's
console.
like if you want to stream to Discord, you can only do that on Xbox if you're just streaming directly from your console. So that's actually, pretty spot on, I reckon. That's sounds good.
Yeah,
Is
no,
that,
it's.
I don't think you can do it for PlayStation. I know they have the streaming features
I'm
normally.
they were getting Discord integration, but I'm pretty sure Microsoft's been helping them move
I
along on
think
their
they
side.
have it now,
Yeah.
but I don't know to what extent. I've not really
I'm not
used
too
it over there,
sure.
so.
But yeah, I think I've only been in a Discord, like because I've got my PC right here. There's not really much point for me to do it on console. But then there would be other people where I could understand.
I think that's your headset.
Sorry, I checked my headset. I got a notification saying my headset was going flat, which it does at 10%. I'm like, it's at least at like 40 or 50, and it's like,
If
no,
you
30.
quit the Logitech app and just run your headset through the computer, I found it doesn't notify you.
Okay, there you go.
So it's like just before you stream or something. You don't get the lights because it's, if you want the lights
Yeah.
in the on the in the front of
I
the
don't care about the
headset,
lights.
but
I just care about the headset, the last thing to charge. It's been bad lately. But yeah, no, I think the other case with this too is it's gonna be useful for people like, out in the lounge room. They have like separate setups, like that kind of stuff. Like it just gives Discord and more devices. And I think that's a good selling point as well.
Yeah, you can just open it up on everything and just
Don't have
have
to
it going.
necessarily be in your PC to, and you probably don't want to be running it through your phone alongside you. You'd much rather have it on console, have everything in one place.
I don't think TVs have a Discord app yet. So, I mean, maybe that's the next thing too.
I mean, wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me. Anyway. Let's talk about this Kemco bundle.
All right.
All right, so little bit
All
of
right, how
interest.
many of these games have you heard of? No, just tell the story first.
So Kemco has launched a limited time $200 US bundle of 50 Xbox RPG games. So following the launch of its 50th game on Xbox, publisher Kemco has released a $200 bundle of its RPG games that was only available for a limited time. So over the next 50 days, you can get the Kemco 50 RPG celebratory bundle, which basically contains an almost complete collection for the Series X and S and the Xbox One. According to the Xbox Y announcement, each game has a playtime around 15 hours. So there is roughly 750 hours of content here without taking into account completion estimates on TA. Johnny Sinister has rightly put in other comments, the games in the bundle have an average price of around $15. So there is around $750 worth of titles in the Kemco bundle. So yeah, indie RPGs. Going for the list quickly, I noticed some that I own as Divine Hearts. What was it? As Divine Hearts, as Divine Hearts 2, I think Fern's Gate. I haven't really played any of this though.
Yeah, I
It's
don't
a good
know.
price
Like,
though.
I mean, if you're going to spend your time anywhere and it was the Kemco games that you wanted, then I mean, that's just 750 hours. That's like a lot of time to put into these games. I mean, it's a nice collection. Well, I mean, is this going to actually just be a digital collection too? It is.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
just one digital bundle.
I mean,
But
this is the kind of thing that as a package could easily get a a game limited run package physically, and that would be amazing. But
we need a Kemco publisher leaderboard. I wonder if there is.
there you go. Maybe, yeah.
I'm having a look, see if somebody has. All right, so the max is 90,445. Somebody on it by the name of Ladia has 80,832 of the true achievement
Right.
score. So that is
Yes.
pretty impressive, I must
Yes,
say.
if you go on for your publisher completions, that's how you
Yeah.
do
But
it.
yeah, I thought this was a pretty sh interesting bundle just to mention. And yeah, it's only available for 50 days, but very decent pr discount price. Chucking 50 games at a player at once, though, is quite crazy.
Yeah. But it's a lot of the series, right? So it's like Alphadia, like there's three games. As Divine is what, 1, 2, 3, 4, like 6, 7 games
As
there.
Divine
So,
Deus, Cross,
yeah.
Hearts, Kimura, Menace, Saga. Yeah,
Yeah,
I.
if they're tying up something like this, you'd wonder if they've got other stuff that we don't know about coming. That would be good. But do they do anything else except for RPGs?
I honestly don't know that much about Kemco. I'm just having a look qu through the games quickly. Like, I'm not seeing any missables. I'm
Oh,
seeing
that's a
low
good sign.
player counts for some games, but I've got Alabasta Chronicles, apparently.
Okay. The only one I know is Revenant Dogma. I've got a hold of that. So.
The bundle is called the Kemco 50 RPG Celebratory Bundle. Introducing the
Yes.
Ultimate RPG Bundle in celebration of the 50th title released on Xbox, now made available for a limited time featuring 50 full-fledged RPGs. I mean, it could be worse, yeah. This could be like a one game bundle situation. 1,000 gamer score for 750 hours of content.
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah. We know fishing games with longer completion times than that, so.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But yeah, I thought that was a pretty funny story today. All right. Moving on to the next thing. Xbox Game Pass could add Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. With a number of people reporting popping up notifications about both titles joining Xbox Game Pass, suggesting they may be joining the service soon. So I'm not sure if you're aware, like this happened with Shadow Warrior 3 and there was another title earlier in the year.
As a bundle?
Yeah, no, that it just popped up as a
Okay.
notification that it was coming to Game Pass.
Oh, right. Yeah, like an add thing.
I can't remember what the other one was, but I know, what was it? Shadow Warrior 3 was one of them, and that was like a few weeks, I think, before the other one came out. Let me just see if I can
Yeah,
find it
I
quickly.
don't know what they are. But this seems like it might be a bit of a compromise because we can't get Baldur's Gate 3 yet. Like
Yeah,
it'll
they
just
just jack on the other two and just
they're
like go
like
rogue.
here have like because it's $75 to buy the bundle Australian, I think, just looking at it. Not signed in anywhere. I don't know if that's Australian or not, probably. Yeah, AU.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, and it seems like it's what a 150 to 200 hours as well. So
Yeah, I imagine that'd
maybe
be
it'll.
pretty long.
Yeah, I've heard these games are just huge completions. So in what this third one? That's the one that has all those endings, isn't it? Isn't it like 17,000 or something? Is that Baldur's Gate that has that, or something else?
17,000. Trying to think.
I feel
Yeah,
like it
I think
was.
it's something crazy like that. I think you are right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought this was a interesting, like I think this is a short case of it coming. Yeah, so a few people shared on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, notifications, and then likewise a number of people on Reddit also had the same notification. So yeah, I dare say this is
Who did Dark
interesting.
Alliance 2?
Dark
Interplay
Alliance
Black
2.
Isle. They did Dark Alliance 2, the one that was rubbish that came to Game Pass when it day one release.
I'm not too sure.
Black Isle Studios beamed on with the developers of Baldur's Gate 1 and 2. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's been some issues with the developer with Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, I think. So yeah, maybe they just want a bag. Maybe that's all it comes down to, you know. So
Trying to
some for the
find
next
it.
time.
I did see it the other day, but yeah, I can't think of that other game. But yeah, anyway, yeah, it would be pretty interesting to see it. I mean, maybe it's just a big week for RPGs.
I never played Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, so for people
Neither.
like me, it'll gear people up on Xbox to play 3, I think, if they really just, you know, they've got time now. They're hearing all the positivity from the third game coming out, you know.
I didn't know much about the game, so I checked out the Steam reviews today. It was something just like, there was one that was like top rated. It was something along the lines of like, this is one of the best games I've played, and like shows, how other devs are, not being like not
Yeah.
living up to the potential. Just like live your true dreams, like do this stuff, throw the salami.
Living your dreams. So, okay, what's the chance this guy was a furry?
I mean, he might have had some what's the right word? I mean, of just having a look at a bear. What was it? Play your way. Don't use a guide. Feel the world react to your choices. Hit people with the salami. I don't know if that's an innuendo if it's or anything, but I'm just gonna move
I don't
along
know.
with
Maybe it's just like a something someone says in the game or something, or like one of the old games or whatever.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see when Larian gets Baldur's Gate 3 onto Xbox. But
Yeah, because Larian Studios, they're completely different than the guys that have made it before.
are they?
Well, I mean, what have they done?
I don't know who's
I don't know. Have
in.
they made any other games, Larian Studios?
I don't know. I know that Baldur's Gate's been in early access for a while.
Yeah. So I don't know. So this
But
might be their first foray into this kind of, or maybe they're made up of old teams.
400 employees, founded in 1996.
Okay, so they've been around for a while.
But
Does it
yeah,
say they?
first licensed game is Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay,
They've
yeah.
worked on the Definitive series, Divinity series, and a few
Oh,
educational
right,
games.
of course. That's why this is so fleshed out. I reckon they're the right team for it, for sure. Those Divinity games were pretty big, so I never
Developed
touched them, but
Baldur's Gate 3. It is the third main game in the Baldur's Gate series. Itself based on the Dungeons & Dragons tabletop, released in early access format across all three platforms in 2020 with a full release on the 3rd of August 2023. Yeah, cool.
All right, let's go. Get rid of that. Yes, so.
Yeah, so yeah, pretty interesting with that one.
So,
I
next
wonder how
one.
long it takes them to Game Pass.
Well, you mean, wait, do you mean for 1 and 2, or do
Yeah,
you
one
mean
and
for
two.
this?
One and two.
Yeah, I reckon it's very close if this kind of stuff is coming up.
Yeah, maybe
Or if
like next
not,
month or so.
they're making a deal right now. So, yeah. All right. So, the game that nobody seems to know how to say, Dordogna, Dordogne, Door Donate.
Don't
Don't
know.
know a.
Don't know how. Yeah, that's the
So
one.
Xbox Game Pass adds useful feature for missable achievements. So the new chapter select feature should help solve the issues achievement hunters are having with the game's collectibles and missable achievements. It launched into Game Pass in June. It was gorgeous narrative driven game, which bounces between the past and present of its main character. I haven't played this, so I don't know about it.
It's
Have you
on
played this?
my list. I think it's like a 2 to 3 hour completion, and Welsh
Okay.
has a really good guide.
Okay, might be worth just jumping in. Yeah. So the main character, Mimi, it's an emotional story in a beautiful watercolor world, but it also happens to be riddled with missable collectibles needed for a number of achievements. If you happen to miss an item, you need and you need the wait, hang on, that's not even written properly. You need and the story and yeah, okay, the yeah. Grammar. And the story progresses, you were left with no problem but to replay the game again until now. They've got a new chapter select feature. So now that the this stuff has been added, I'm gonna see a lot of extra people probably playing it.
Yeah,
So
this has been on my backlog to get around to. There's quite a few like 3 to 4 hours kind of games in Game Pass at the moment that I want to get to. Like Planet Lana, I think is 4 to 5 maybe.
Yes,
This
I've
Dordogne.
downloaded that about three times, I think. Try and go to play that maybe and haven't. So,
Yeah, I just need to get around to it.
yeah.
There's a few like shorter, like, one night completions though that I need to go around to in Game Pass.
Yeah.
Just yeah, stuff like this. But yeah, I thought this would be a good story to chuck in because yeah, the chapter select is always a nice thing for missable achievements. And you know what? This goes back to what Isaac was talking about before as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
David just said a short hike got added. Vemba is really nice. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Short hike, I think, is 3 hours, if I'm not mistaken. Nikita's recommended it to me before, but I was waiting for it to hit Xbox.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's yeah, actually there's a few really good ones that I just haven't made it anywhere near Xbox. But
Yeah, Tom, which Neo talked about last week. But yeah, we'll go through the Game Pass game soon. So there was also other news that Microsoft is now selling official replacement parts for Xbox controllers. The US
Yes.
Microsoft Store has now started offering official support with a repairability initiative for Surf. They've sorry, Microsoft has been offering a repairability initiative for Surface devices for a while, but it looks like it is now offering a similar scheme for Xbox controllers. Currently, the North American Microsoft Store is only offering first-party controller parts for sale, but all players can access the official repair instructions from support. So yeah, the repair and replacement parts page on the store offers a selection of parts for Series X and S and Elite Series 2 controllers, such as replacement boards, buttons, and shelves. The shelves for both controllers only come in black and white variants, however, so you'll not be able to mod your play best your basic controller with a shell from a limited edition variant, such as the Starfield.
Yeah,
Which I mean makes sense. They're gonna get you to pay for the limited ones, which I'm fine with. Prices range from $19.99 for a Series X and S controller top case to $59.99 for an Elite Series 2 PCBA and motor assembly. Although the prices look a little bit expensive on paper, depending on the part of your controller that's faulty, it could be more cost effective than purchasing a whole new controller, especially if you're comfortable with dismantling electronic items. I think it's very much a case of like, if you, it's right to repair, essentially, yeah? Like everybody should have a
exactly.
right to repair.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to like, send it away and wait because I have quite a few. But if you're that person that has like one controller and doesn't have the money to fork out for another, then this is a very viable option.
The only issue probably with that is like I need the LB button replaced on my Elite Series 2, but you have to solder that to the board. So I mean, they're obviously relying on people who know how to, do that stuff, and I just don't have any of that stuff lying around. I've not really had to, and I've been thinking about it, fixing them myself. So something like this would really help that out. I think if I had access to a full kit of this, I would just be replacing everything that I got with it. I wouldn't be keeping anything for spare parts. So, but it's a good get. We really need official replacement stuff because I mean I've replaced my 360 controller sticks, and you're just finding stuff on Amazon. I think the last time I did my 360 controllers, I just ordered metal ones so they wouldn't wear down. And then I ordered like Gecko rubber covers or got the, the little FPS shooter ones and stuff you can get at JB and stuff like that. So
I pretty
to
much
have put
just
on the
use like the custom design like this one here. I just use the custom Design Labs controller I've got that Abby bought me. But yeah, in terms of like the other like Xbox sorry, David was saying like he's Series One, he hasn't broken yet, even the carbon black that he got with the console. Like Xbox One generation, like I definitely think they went the like it was the best upgrade in terms of like going from the 360 to the Xbox One controller, but they were very, I don't want to say fragile. But like you think of like the first rendition of the Elite series and stuff like that, they just didn't survive
Yeah, I've only ever
in
had a
water.
Series 2 Elite. But the other problem that I found is common with that as well, that you've got the little trigger bits on the back of the controller that swap between like I guess the light and heavy modes, kind of like how the triggers pull back. And they have like little plastic nubs that come off them. And once they're gone, there's just like a little sharp piece under there, like a little pin. So it's a problem. With that as well, so
I know we're in an audio podcast as well, but I'm just holding up my original series. Oh wait, you mean like the little green
yeah,
nubs
exactly
that are
those
there?
ones. Yeah. So they have like little bits that once they fall off, it's hard to actually swap between the modes,
Yeah, I can see.
and they're actually sharp. They're pointing, so so.
Yeah, I can see the point of that too.
You can't actually really replace those. I don't think they've got an option for any of that, so.
I think the other thing too is, that I don't really like with them is sorry, going from like the Elite One to the Elite Two, you had the compartment at the back, whereas in the two was just a complete internal battery.
Ah, yes. Yeah,
That
yeah.
that's the other thing that I don't really like. People say all the time comparing like the Series X and the PS5 controllers like about the battery, like you know. But I think having the option to have double A's is actually not a bad thing.
Yeah, I guess they haven't really done anything about replacing the batteries, and then there's all kind of new battery laws here too. Since those elites have come out, we've had a whole bunch of legislation come through just specifically for batteries, and you go into any retail place and you'll see stickers on anything that has a battery now. So they wouldn't want to be shipping those about. They'd have to go through loopholes or regulations to actually get it done, so.
Doesn't Xbox have a dual DualSense? I would not be surprised. You're probably right there. I just can't remember. It's got ship.
Oh, maybe at one point I'm sure they did. I don't know what they've got now. But I mean, is that what ships in the box? Duracells?
Duracell exec says deal with Microsoft is why the Xbox Series X controllers still use AAA batteries. This is back from July 21. Oh, wait.
Must be a pretty good deal.
Da, da, da. Yeah, revenue opportunities. The deal is for OEM to supply the battery product for the Xbox consoles and also the controller's battery. So the deal is going to be for a while. It's been going for a while, and I think it needs to go for a while more. But yeah, you're 100% right, David.
Well, I mean, the only other thing you're looking at with things like batteries are like how eco-friendly they are. So, I mean, all these companies want to be, more eco-friendly, like in the eyes of the consumer.
Well, the other benefactor from that is the fact that they're got the revenue opportunities from reselling, sorry, from selling rechargeable battery packs. So you pretty much got like, Duracell helping them out in that regard and making coin there. Be cool. My favorite story of the week. Xbox is gonna be at Gamescom.
Oh,
You
there
know
you
who else
go.
is gonna be at Gamescom?
Surprise, surprise. You're going to be at Gamescom.
Yeah, I'm gonna be in Germany in like less than 2 weeks now. So first time going to Europe, pretty exciting. But yeah, Xbox has announced that they're gonna have a booth at Cologne, Germany. Fan experiences are bigger and better than ever. It's the fans that make Gamescom the biggest gaming event in the world, and we're thrilled to greet you this year with the largest booth we've ever had at Gamescom. Attendees will be able to experience a huge amount of exciting new games coming to Xbox, PC, and Game Pass with fantastic photo opportunities and the return of Xbox Fan Fest. I actually submitted for this. I'm hoping I get in because that, like, going to a Fan Fest event there would be pretty cool as well.
Yeah, so how much what does it take to get into one of these
I'm
events then, or
pretty
is it
sure
just
it's
a
like,
time?
I think it's like one of those, you know how like the FanFest stuff works in Australia where you basically just get awarded the ticket, like if you get selected? I think it's pretty much one of those regards. Yeah, so the booth is going to have over 30 titles spread across 150 gaming stations with amazing photo ops and experiences, as well as a specially constructed 300 seats theater. Attendees will be able to check out exclusive theater presentations from Starfield, Forza Motorsport, ARA History Untold, and then Towerborn, Outer Scrolls Online, and Microsoft Flight Sim. Over 25 titles from third-party partners and IDE at Xbox Friends will be playable at the booth. So debut of Stalker 2, which I do want to sneak out and play Stalker 2. It's the main one they're interested in. They're going to have Armored Core 6. They're going to have Payday 3. They're going to have Party Animals. Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty. Under the Waves, which I think was that. Was Under the Waves the horror one, or am I thinking of.
That was the yeah that was like on a rig out in the ocean or something. Yeah, it was the horror. Oh, no, hang on. No,
No,
that wasn't. That
that's.
was a different.
Under the Waves
No.
is something different.
Yeah, actually I retweeted something about that. It's the one
Because.
with the submarine with the guy
Oh
and he's
yeah.
been there for X
Because
amount of time and
Chinese, I think it's Chinese Room was making the, I think that's the
that sounds
developer's
familiar.
name. Yeah, it was making the rig one.
Yeah, it
And
was.
then Persona 5 Tactica. Attendees can also come and help celebrate 10 years of ID at Xbox, experience a diverse range of ID at Xbox titles, including Lamplighters League, SteamWorld Build, Lightyear Frontier, and lots more. Whatever you're into, the Xbox booth will have something for you. For the full list of playable titles, visit here. Just seeing if anything sticks out to me that's going to be worth. Oh, come on, page load, load. So they're going to have like an
So
o so they're going to have three streams. They're going to have an opening light live stream on August 22nd,
okay, that makes sense.
which will be. It will be after. Oh, will be after? That might be the same time as like the proper opening light live, like games, like Jeff Keighley's one. Need to check
Oh,
that.
right, of course. Yeah.
There is a live from the show floor, and then there's a Fan Fest trivia stream. So there's going to be three different 3 hour streams that week. What other games was there? They had a list somewhere. Oh, sorry. Five streams. Free live from the show floor streams, FanFest trivia, and opening night live. So
And you
the
said there's a list,
yeah, I'm having a
so
quick
that's
look
not the
through.
entire. Okay.
Stalker, what is it? Stalker 2, Sonic Superstars, Party Animals, Mortals of Avium, Mortal Kombat 1, Armored Core, SteamWorld Build, Worldless. A Little Kitty Big City, Cocoon is going to be playable.
Okay, that's cool.
I'll check out
Yeah.
Cocoon. Then a few other indie games I'm not as familiar with stations. Yeah, so there's like three separate blocks they're split into. Towerborn has a claw machine. I love the claw machine. campaign they had at PAX Oz
Yeah,
2
that
years
was
ago.
pretty cool. Looking at that from my sofa.
Cocoon was the Limbo
That was the
dev, wasn't
one where it's like a Inception kind of thing where you can go in and
it?
out of the worlds. So you carry them around into dome areas, and when you place them down, you can go in and out and use them to solve puzzles. So.
It's only 2 halls away from me, it looks like. Don't miss out on the PC Game Pass challenge. Just full opportunity prizes with gaming laptops, NVIDIA now, Ultimate. Cool. What else is there?
All right, so
FanFest.
long story short, win me something. That's
Calling all game developers to DevCon. DevCon, there's a few different things. Pitch it. I'm gonna go and see if I can have a look at some of these events. Be pretty cool. I'm not sure how many I will be able to get into, but it'll be very, very cool. I'll be off for like 2 weeks towards the end of the month, but when I get back, I'll fill you all in of what I see. Do we want to go over our Gone with Gold community event?
Yeah, let's go to that.
Cool. If people haven't heard last week's podcast, we were talking about, oh, last week or week before, we were talking about doing
The
a,
last 2 weeks, it kind
yeah.
of come up a little bit.
So we've been talking about doing a Gone with Gold community event to celebrate the ending of Games of Gold. Some of us have pretty much picked a few games that we're going to go through. Like, I will quickly just briefly mention some of the games I've done since we announced it. Finished off Celeste, did Live Lock after the podcast last week, finished the base game of Layers of Fear, and I finished When the Past Was Around. I think Neo's put like 12 games on his list. And then he's finished Beast of Marvilla Island and Lamentium. You're offering division runs for people that want
Yeah. So,
it.
with that, so survival mode in the Division is one of my favorite game modes, and the first Division game was one of the best games of that generation. And it came out in what, 2013 or something. So,
Yeah, it's been a while.
yeah, so they did a like people kind of they just don't like getting in and doing the survival mode. Now, I'm no way offering underground runs. You can go and just have that to yourself, but that RNG can suck
Oh, organizing people for that.
it.
Absolute
Yeah.
pain.
I'm proficient with the survival runs and quite happy to run through, one or two people at a time, just to get them used to do a little bit of a taste of the way that works. I know there's a couple of people that aren't quite at level 30 and stuff like that. And they have never seen the game mode, but own the DLC. It was Games with Gold. Like, so most people have the base game if they downloaded it or maybe have started it. And yeah, so once you get used to that, you've got to collect 100 crates. So yeah.
David in chat just like, did you ever play the addition, the subtraction, and the
Yeah.
multiplication? No, I hear they're like hidden projects that Ubisoft's still working on.
Yeah, collaborations with Ed Sheeran.
Oh, jeez.
So is that Tom
Tell me you're
Clancy's?
looking at the albums of JB without telling me
It's
you.
no longer Tom Clancy's The Division, it's Ed Sheeran's
He's
Subtraction and Addition.
done all those albums now, yeah? He's done the
I
whole.
think so. I think he's done the set. I'm sure he could come
I
up with
think that was
something
like equals
else.
or something, and then we're just gonna have pie and like
Oh,
other
yeah.
random ones.
I could go for a little
What
pie right now.
the Bulbasaur's just like, what the hell did I walk into? That was goddamn awful. You
Yeah.
know what you get with this podcast.
Yeah.
How about you tell us a little bit about like what games you're gonna do, Games of Gold, or planning to do?
For those that haven't already seen on the Gone with Gold sheet, there's 5 pages of games that I put up there, which were it was a list from what 2013 or something, the whole Games with Gold list, subject to region availability and whether or not you redeemed them or not. But basically the first page and a bit have highlighted in red, or little ends if you have some kind of color blindness going on, then you'll be able to see.
Who would have a color blindness on this podcast?
I don't know. I don't know. And
I don't know.
how would they get through video games? There's the first page and a bit of that actually show all the games that aren't backwards compatible. And my interest is clearing out the games that I, don't want to turn my old consoles on for. So of the games with gold, and I've claimed most of them. There was, I think, two games that I couldn't. And I have to see if they're just in my download list. I don't know what they are. But the stuff that's not backwards compatible that I downloaded were Dead Rising 2, Deadlight, so a couple of shorter ones as well, like Dead Island's on there, which I did a co-op run originally but never finished. Shoot Many Robots, Dungeon Defenders, the original one of that, Dust and Elysian Tale, which there's no reason not to go back and play that, I've heard. So that'd be good. Charlie Murder, Dishonored, I've only done one playthrough of that, so I guess a playthrough with the other ending in the DLC, which is quite hard actually, I believe, which is probably why I never got into it. So
You know
I
what? You
know.
should really do the DLC for the Dishonored because I feel like it really, like it was me challenging him with the Cuphead DLC. Really get Matt going again.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I should do that. I have it installed. It's probably one of the things I've had installed for so long. Last couple there, Red Faction Guerrilla, which I've had a couple of people say that they wanted to play as well. Thief, Metro 2033, and Last Light, because I never touched them.
I love
I played
2033,
Metro
but
33, but I never touched Last Light at all. And then I had also had installed Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes. So Ground Zeroes was one of the ones where that was Games of Gold on both the Xbox One and the 360. But
Did that
then last
have
year I finished
a
five.
server thing or something closing or?
The Metal Gear Solid 5 on the 360 had the server closure last year. Whether or not that went down or not, I'm pretty sure it did. But you had to do like the you had to complete the game and then go and it was something to do with the nuke. You had to go online mode and disable a nuke or something that was in someone's game or something like that.
Well,
So
they haven't marked any achievements.
for the 360, it's not marked. Yeah, but the other one was left alone, so the Ground Zeroes is fine. Which I did start that at the time, pretty much after I finished five, I think. But I never went back to it. So Gotham City's Impostors is on there as well. I also already had that installed, but I don't know if I'll get to that. But based on the suggestions in the chat, I'm probably at the moment I'm doing Brothers of Tale of Two Sons, which I've already mentioned. I might move on to Charlie Murder next by the looks
I
of it. So.
completely forgot about Charlie Murder as a game, to be honest. So I might even do that myself. It's been a while. 15, 20 hours, play my Charlie Murder, everybody's a cool fighting game.
Oh
I
yeah,
guess.
nice. Yeah. I think the other short, I think Deadlight's not very long as well, as far as I can see, based on the TO
Am
stuff,
I
but
thinking?
I could be wrong though.
What am I thinking that's similar to Dead by the closed down? I
Oh,
might have director's cut. That's what I think I've got.
right, okay. Yeah.
Because there's two different versions, and the Games of Gold one is the original, not the director's cut.
Yes, that was the 360 one.
And the director's
Yeah.
cut.
So Shoot Many Robots, I think, is okay too. Like, just to quickly knock out. Oh, Sleeping Dogs was another one as well. So that's another one I never
I
finished.
need to go back to Sleeping Dogs. I do it every so often,
Yeah.
but I just can't seem to drag myself through. What was it?
Yeah, it looks like
And I was gonna say
Max the
you're
Curse will be one of
also
them.
been working Halo Spartan Assault, yeah?
Yes, but that's in my games that I've been playing list a little bit further down the track. But I mean, really, even just for that, I was just the week before Aftos and I had got in and did the co-op stuff, and then this week we went and did the just the medals that we needed for co-op. So it was quite a short run anyway. So there's not much more to say there with that. So.
Start Dead Rising, God. Are
Oh,
you gonna do
yeah.
that 7 day challenge or survivor, whatever it is? All right, cool. Let's go on to Game Pass updates. So we've already talked to Games of Gold. Oh, did we? Yeah, we did last week, I'm pretty sure. I also forgot to mention that you didn't bring up the Final Fantasy 14 coming to.
Oh, yeah,
I
because we didn't put that in the
that
news.
was right after.
Oh,
Yeah.
geez, that was like hours. Yeah, so I willed into existence, by the way, everybody. It was exclusive on this podcast, me willing it, talking about Final Fantasy 11 and 14.
I don't see any other podcast, Xbox podcasts, talking about
Actually,
Final
I
Fantasy 11.
know of one other that was chatting, one other person from a podcast that was chatting in their chat with a buddy about it at the same night. So there was
Okay.
a vibe going on. But
There's a
yes,
vibe.
so they had the Final Fantasy 14 Fan Fest for the year where they basically announced the new expansion. I can't remember what the name of it is. It is something trail. Anyway, can't
Yeah.
remember that. And so at the very end we had somebody walk on stage that we nobody was expecting.
Be free.
So we had Phil Spencer walk onto the stage, and
Yeah.
it's been memed all over the internet, and I've shared, and basically the next day I shared and followed like a bunch of people just to kind of push this a little bit. So Final Fantasy 14 is now coming to Xbox. When they release the final patch, which is I believe 6.5, is it? I don't know the date. It could be by the end of the year, maybe, but or early next year. I don't know if there's actually a date for it yet because they've got another event, I think. And then,
It's a massive get.
so si the 6.5 will pretty much be the final patch before they release the next expansion,
Yep.
and that will be 7.0, and that's basically an onboarding for the they did a 10-year story, and it was they've basically completed over all the expansions that they're done with all of that, and now they're making a new story, and onboarding people. It's going to be pirate based by the looks of it, lots of treasure and gold and stuff like that,
Yep.
and it'll be everyone on Xbox will have like a preview, like a beta that they can get into before that, and then when that release comes out, they'll have the new expansion that will be just available. And I'm like, yeah, well, it would be silly for them to allow the Xbox people to play beforehand because they'd have to buy everything twice, right? So if they came in at Endwalker, which is the last expansion, then when the new game comes out, they'd be buying into the whole new game. So it makes sense that 7.0 was the place to onboard everybody.
I wonder if it's
So
going to be a case too of it coming to Game Pass.
It well, I mean, it's going to be so the way that works is you have a Square Enix account
Yep.
and you're set up on the back end with that, and then you basically just sign in, and then it doesn't matter what platform you're on, you'll be able to basically play the game,
Okay, cool.
but you have to buy it on every single platform.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just don't see it being a Game Pass game, because they can get so much out of people rebuying it, unless they really wanted to push that Game Pass on it. So but I mean, it's it, this is what so a lot of people have wanted for a very long time. So and I was thinking about doing some little guides and stuff like that to help Xbox players on board. Basically, this is how you control. This is what's available. Keyboard and mouse, everybody. It's
100%,
available to
everybody's going to
play
hit you
on.
up once it
Yeah,
comes out.
exactly.
I'm hoping this
Well, I
leads
mean,
to
I'm not even a.
was going to say I'm hoping this
Yes,
leads
they
to
do
the
charge a monthly fee.
yeah.
The thing, I guess, to note with that is that with the monthly fee, at the moment, you can play the base game and two expansions. And they're planning on adding two to that. So the only one that you'll be paying for is Endwalker, I think, and then the new one. So basically, it'll come out as a complete package. anyway. So regardless, you'll still have to buy the game and then pay the subscription. But if everyone can play for free up until like level 90 or something and play the original game with plus like three or four of the expansions that have come out. I think it's like three of them. So I think they've had four expansions. So level 70? I think level 70 is what they have at the moment, Todd, because you've got two expansions included at the moment. So you'll be able to do a little bit more. So it'll basically take you up right up to level 80, I think, which was where they do the where you start at the final expansion for the game, Endwalker, and then you go up to level 90, and then this next one will be basically level 90 to 100 with the new expansion. So you'll be able to play a lot of game for free without ever having to subscribe. And I spent more than a year replaying on a new character without even like, I mean, I was paying for a subscription because I had a character that was past that point, but you can play for a very long time without having to ever even buy the game, or have you might have to buy the game, but you don't have to pay the subscription for a long time. So is this the trial? The trial. Well, once you buy the game, sorry, I have to correct myself. Once you buy the game, you're basically paying for the subscription. But if you use the trial and you can play all of the expansions they have available, then you're set. So a lot of people on Xbox won't be paying for a very long time, I think. So they don't need to put it in Game Pass because you don't have to pay for it
Not a fair
for a
point.
long time. Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at with that. So yeah, if I was a little bit more prepared, I probably would have had a couple of extra things to throw in there, but I didn't even think about that.
I will
So
say I do hope it is a case of it leading to like the pixel remasters and all that coming to, like I do hope this kind of opens the door with Square again.
that was the thing that they were really pushing. They were basically saying that future Square Enix games, where possible, will come to Xbox.
Where possible.
Where possible means if they haven't already got a contract that stops them from coming to Xbox, they will come to Xbox.
Yeah, the next year they've just already the.
So we still might not see Final Fantasy 16. We still might not see the first Final Fantasy VII remake. But if you have a look at Final Fantasy VII Reunion and the gear for that, what they've said is that you don't need to play Final Fantasy VII Remake to play Final Fantasy VII Reunion. So what might they do? Well, we got Octopath Traveler 1. PlayStation got Octopath Traveler 2. They didn't get Octopath Traveler 1. We might end up with the reunion and not the first part of the Final Fantasy 7. So interested to see what happens. And then it won't be until, I don't know, it's all out that they can do a complete package or something. Who
Just give me
knows?
a Final Fantasy game. It's fine.
Yeah.
Any will do. All right, we'll quickly go through Game Pass updates. We have a short hike that came out yesterday, which I'm really excited for. We've got Broforce, which I am a little bit hesitant to because of the one unattainable achievement that's been out on Windows for quite a while. We'll have to wait and see if it's final console. I don't know if it's player anywhere or if it's a stack as well.
I don't know.
August 9th, we've got Limbo, which reminds me I need to get that final achievement done.
Ah, yes, I can go back and I never played the PC version and I just finished the Xbox One version.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
You may as
oh,
well
it's fresh
do
in my
it.
mind. I'm gonna go. Yeah, I may even stream like that whole run because I reckon I could do it just in the run
What
now.
else we
So.
got? Airborne Kingdom coming out on the 10th. And then Everspace 2 hitting the cloud and the Series X and S on August 15th, which I'm probably going to check out there rather than on PC. Games likely, sorry, games leaving Game Pass and PC Game Pass include Death Stranding, Edge of Eternity, Midnight Fight Express, and Total War Warhammer 3. I kind of wanted to do Death Stranding, but I just think I don't have enough time.
I have it installed purely because I want to see how it runs. Because
Yeah.
if I pick it up later on, I want to know that it runs on my computer.
Actually, that's
So
a good
I
point. You
actually have
want
it just to check.
to, yeah, that is a good point. What else? Edge
So I'm going to do that.
Eternity.
So it's going to appear on my card. Yeah.
Edge of Eternity has unattainables. I'm not sure about Total War Warhammer. Midnight Fright Express, I think, is still on the long side, if I'm not mistaken.
Actually, that was a game that I kind of
That
wanted to
was
check out
the,
originally, but
yeah, that was the solo dev, 40, 50 hours.
Okay.
5.5. I don't know if that game is still as hard as what it was.
Warhammer is a huge slog as well, so I don't think anyone will be getting the completion for that
Games of Gold month. Just
either.
work on your Games of Gold.
Yeah, exactly. Don't need to worry about that now. We've got other things to focus on.
Yeah. All right, cool. Do you want to start off with what games you've been playing?
All right. So I have a lot more games that I've been playing this week than I have last week. As I said, I've done some Halo Spartan Assault, the only co-op stuff I have left. So I'll start with the Games of Gold stuff that I've kind of got set
Yeah,
up.
cool.
I just need to do the 10,000 kills and all co-op levels where you beat the other person's time, but points.
Oh,
So you
yeah.
actually have to play. There's only five co-op levels. There's not very many co-op levels compared to actual proper levels. So that's that too. Todd and I went back and did some Saints Row 2, the multiplayer for that, which is really good. So we did basically like a 6 hour session, and I went up two ranks. It was like one at the very start of the session. It was the enforcer rank, and then at by the end of the session I ended up getting dominated. Todd went up a rank as well, but we worked out that we got like $68,000, which is your XP in the game, in that time. So we can kind of work out how long it took us to go up that rank. So it took a bit of time. I don't know if we're super efficient with that though. But hopefully all I need now is Terminator and Executioner rank, because I've got to talk like a Pirate Day one and some of the other easier non-ranked ones as well, that you can kind of skip a couple of the higher ranks, which take over 1 million points to get. So, As I said, I've been doing Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. If you haven't played this game, you really need to check it out. You may or may not have a part of your Games with Gold stuff. It's kind of nice to go back to, actually. So it's only like about 5 hours. I'm only up to chapter three, I think. I think there's about six chapters. But it was one of the first Xbox 360 games, well, games on Xbox, that used the twin sticks. It looked kind of like a twin stick shooter, but you controlled individually the characters.
It was such
So,
a cool little charming indie that had like a unique spin.
I don't think anyone was really thinking about games that way when that game came out. So it was such a like a refreshing surprise and confusing one.
You got to think of the like what that I'm trying to think of the studio's name, but they've done like what A Way Out. They've done
Yeah, they've kept the
what's the
same kind
recent
of
one
concepts.
called?
It Takes Two
It Takes Two,
as
yeah.
well. So, yeah.
Like they've really delivered with that kind of twin stick control
Well,
kind of thing.
they've delved into co-op now, really, with
Yeah.
that kind of getting the tasks done between two people,
I
actually,
love
instead
co-op
of
games and there's not enough of them.
Yes. Well, I mean, I don't have I mean, the list of co-op games that I have that we haven't started or partway through is just
Indie co-op is more so what I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, actually, there's a couple I need to hit you up about, actually, that you may or may not know about, but I can't remember the name of it at the moment. It's on my Xbox list, but I heard it somewhere else. So I'll look at that and maybe bring that up next week or something.
Yeah.
The thing with that one, I think, is that you kind of have to tailor your older brother on the left stick and keep him on the left side of the screen, and then the younger brother you have to keep on the right side of the screen. Otherwise, you get crossed over, and your controlling's kind of really funny. You get really confused. So I guess it really threw people when that game kind of came out. So, the next one, I finished all of the story in Need for Speed, so the self-titled one. So that's the one that has a prestige mode at the end.
Yeah. Now I want to. Okay, story
Yeah.
for Need for Speed. Like this is the 2013 one. Yeah. So the
Yes.
Need for Speed Unbound had somewhat of a story. Payback had somewhat of a story. When we say story, how loose are we talking?
Well, I mean, it was the last game that they had FMV videos for, yeah. Where they actually had real people going in and doing the acting. I never played
Did they?
the some of the newer games except for the multiplayer, but it actually has like live people going in and
Okay.
I mean, for a story, every time like you go back to the garage or something, you get prompted to go back to the garage. You get a cut scene either
Yeah.
at the garage or at a club or at a milk bar of all places, and it is littered with these guys running around just drinking Monster energy drink. It is
I
the
thought that's
funniest
the
thing.
true fuel of racing drivers is
Yeah, and
Monster Energy.
they're all just tweaking and going off at you in the screen and stuff like that. And they're like, there's either conflict or there's not, and they're all happy with you or they're not. And it's just all that buddy, like group mentality stuff, like party atmosphere. But it took me about half the game to really pay attention to what was going on in the background of the scenes. And then I'm like, hang on, that's a monster. That's a monster. Everybody's just holding Monster energy drinks, and I'm just like,
Wait,
this is ridiculous.
Death
Like
Stranding.
in a milk bar. Yeah, so
Death
yeah, they
Stranding's
had
monster
Monster
as
as well,
well?
didn't they?
Yeah.
They patched that out, I
Oh,
think,
they
with the
did?
director's cut on the PlayStation. I don't know if they added it to the PC version, but
Interesting.
there's a lot of issues with Monster at the moment trying to sue people over, the Monster name
The, right, yeah.
in there and some stuff.
I
But
don't know why this jumped into my mind, but like Monster
mm.
Energy, like I cannot stand the normal Monster drinks. But when it comes to like the non-sugar,
Right. Okay.
like
I like the punch one. It's like the
I
fruity kind of ones are not bad.
that
So.
orange and blue can, I think, yeah, like that
That's
one's
one of
like,
the fruit ones.
yeah, like
So.
mango, really nice. Everything else I can't stand.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But
Yeah, I don't know what I think it's like Tropical Punch or something, the one. It's like a pinky
yeah.
kind of can, but yeah. But
And
yeah,
the
they all got stock standard monsters. It's all the same thing. It's not even a variety. They didn't even show off the brand. So they're just trying to keep their black and green image. So
closest thing to Monster to promoting Monsters other than the Supercross games. Monster
oh, well, I guess they kind of want to be the energy drink face of gaming, don't they?
Yeah.
So yeah. So they think they own all of that.
I
So
find it very funny.
yeah. But yeah, then I got dragged into Exoprimal, so I didn't get a chance to do any of the prestige events or anything like that. So I haven't tried them yet, so I don't actually know how difficult they are. The other thing I started, which I haven't really brought up anywhere, but the Exos cast are doing one of their monthly events as well.
Yep.
And it's like a Secret Santa where everybody gets shared around like different stuff, and it's kind of a patron based event, so
Yeah.
kind of exclusive. They're basically my Secret Santa ended up giving me immortality to play. Like, not they didn't buy it, it's just like
Yeah, they
you have to
just
choose a game
picked,
pass
yeah.
game each, and then they pick a game and you have to play it. So I got immortality
They wanted
with
you to
that,
see
and
boobies.
I started playing. It's the first, yes, and I wanted to as well.
Okay, we didn't blame
So
you.
well, there you go. So anyway, so I did want to play this game basically, but it's the first FMV game I played, so I've not actually
Oh,
played
really?
anything like that before. Yeah, I've not tried any of the other ones. So have you played Immortality?
I'll be honest, I played like 10 minutes well of Immortality, but I
Okay.
played like played Late Shift, I played Shapeshifting Detective. There's some really good FMV games out there.
Okay. So have you, do you, are they all kind of like that, where they're doing the same kind of,
Okay, so
they're
Immortality
not
from
the
my
rewind functions that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Matt has a better understanding of this, but like essentially how Immortality is working around that mechanic, yeah? Whereas in, say, a game like
Yes.
Shapeshifting Detective is working around the The hook of that game is essentially you as the main character can shapeshift into other characters, and those FMV kind of cut scenes kind of have that interaction. Late Shift is a little bit more like basic, narrative hook kind of thing, and then going along and picking the right choice. There's,
Yeah. Okay, so it's like an on rails, like pick and
yeah.
choose. It's like a choose your own
Im
adventure video.
immortality
Well,
kind of like Immortality kind of is much more exploring that kind of mechanic.
Yeah, so I think the longer you play Immortality, kind of the more features, I guess you could say, unlock. Like you do it, you're playing one way and you realize something's hidden in a scene and you go, oh, I'll do this or I'll look at this, and then you'll see something else. And then you'll play the scene out. You have to scrub through the scene a slightly different way to get a different result. And like when people say you can't say anything about immortality without spoiling it, if it's your first time you've played an FMV game like this, it's kind of that with the mechanics. It's if you tell people about how to play the mechanics, you're spoiling the experience of discovery that kind of comes with like the new way to play the game. And then that's kind of nice. It's kind of nice
You haven't
to
played
do.
Her Story at all, have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Yeah, Her Story left Game Pass a little while ago, but I'm pretty sure it was that developer.
Yes, it was her
That,
story, and they did Telling Lies as well through a different publisher.
yeah,
Yeah.
I can't remember the mechanics of Telling Lies, but like Her Story, having the searching by the words to get to the footage you needed, like
Ah, okay.
Immortality is like the evolution of that, of where this kind of like FMV stuff's going. I am very, I can't say anything at the moment. Keep going.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I can't really say much more about this game. I can really just say it's just a really good experience to kind of see. Like, you can be mesmerized by the just the little things that you find in the details as you're kind of scrubbing through the scenes, and you never expect it to play through the way it plays through. But yeah. Other than that, like, I mean, I've only played I played maybe a couple of hours.
Edge
And I'd
Magazine gave
be
it
keen to
a
play a bit more. So,
Edge Magazine gave it a 10 out of 10 when they re initially reviewed it. Would you say
yeah.
this is like a 10 out of 10 game from what you played?
Based on not having played any others, it would be pretty close if you can do the full experience in one or two sittings.
Okay.
When I was playing it, I kind of just wanted to sit there and just play it.
Like just absorb it in and
Yeah, exactly.
yeah,
Just if
cool.
you can absorb the whole thing as a full experience, then yeah. If it's getting broken up over time, you're kind of going to lose a little bit of that, I think.
Yeah.
So it would be close to a 10, I think. But yeah, it's really something you have to take in. But it's like 15, 20 hours, I think, on some of the reports of
Yeah.
it actually
I
finishing.
wonder what
So.
the first playthrough is like if you're going for like not if you're going for like basically 80% run.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm doing. I'm just playing through the game and just finding out things as I go. So I'd be interested to see how much longer it takes me to do. I don't know if there's a, I see, I don't even know if there's a definitive ending or if there's multiple endings or what's coming up with that one. So,
Yeah.
you know, so
I need to get around to playing it. I was thinking, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'll just take it on the flight, but pretty sure that might not be a good idea.
Yeah. No,
Depends on what I'm
it's
sitting
not,
next
you
to.
know, there's not a whole lot going on that would be a problem. So far, there's not a whole lot that's going on that's a problem. You might, you know, if someone's looking over your shoulder, they might think it's a bit weird, but you know. That's pretty much what I've been playing, so
Cool.
yeah.
All right, I'll go through what I've been playing then. So yeah, going off last week's podcast, I finished off LiveLock. So the only stuff I really needed to do was to go through and kill a certain amount of number of enemies. That achievement unlocked. The last one I needed was, I think, the Vanguard getting the audio logs. Basically, me and Matt tested whether we could do a chapter select, which we could. So I re ended up resetting my game, deleting the save, jumping of him, did like 5 minute
Right.
run
I do
just on
remember.
level one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy to get done. In terms of other games of gold stuff, I played When the Past Was Around, which was a game developed by Immersion Studios, which made for A Space for the Unbound this year, I believe it's called. And Toge published it. So there was quite a few because I'm doing a booth at Gamescom with Toge, there's a few names that kept on popping up that I recognized. So I was like, oh, that's cool. But essentially you're this girl living like it's no voice or anything. It's all delivered by music and like beautiful animations. You're this woman that falls in love with this owl. There's yeah, like it's all basically just you can understand the message. They get the basically the owl dies at the end. It's very sad. Like I'm very like keeping it very brief. But it was like a very artistic kind of like interpretation of somebody's life and like the impact of music and that, which I thought was pretty cool.
So like a first person kind of
Like
thing, or
one of
like you're seeing it
those
from
one of
a
those like link the object to a particular thing to open it up and like those kind of puzzle, yeah. And then the only I think there's like one missable achievement, which is hitting every note in the game. So it's just a like a note bubble that comes up, and you've got to do that for the credits as well, which is quite like stressful. But it is like a 1 hour completion. It's pretty cool. Layers of Fear, I got back to.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, so I had originally done the so Layers of Fear have. I don't want to spoil. Layers of Fear has three endings. And the first time I played through it, I did blind playthrough and I got the most common ending. The second ending, the one that I went back to recently first, I went and basically did all collectibles kind of guide, just explored everything, saw the like the traumatic experiences. I don't want to give spoilers, but there's some stuff in this game pertaining to a child that very much. When I first played this game, I hadn't had, I didn't have a kid, whereas then I now do. And there was this, some stuff that kind of like, all right, this is a little bit more horrific than what I would have thought of like back then. So I went through, did all collectibles, got the essentially all collectibles kind of ending. And then there's another ending where the monster in the game you essentially have to embrace, which I thought was a very interesting. Like you think of any horror game that you played. Like, have you ever had to like embrace and run into a monster to affect an ending?
No, I mean, the concept is kind of there for a couple of things.
Yeah.
Does it have any kind of like background, like a hidden meaning or anything like that to
So,
do with embracing your monster?
I mean, it delivers you what the final ending is. But yeah, I don't want to go into like essentially, I will give one spoiler. There is it Layers of Fear is essentially like all about your life as this painter and your family and all that. And one of the situations is your wife ends up in a fire and is essentially horribly disfigured. So that leads to the kind of seeing her as a monster kind of aspect, but then choosing how you interact with that monster in the game, whether you like run away from it, whether you like run towards it and embrace it, will affect the ending. So a lot of people that originally thought the ending was like the game was broken and like one of the multiple endings wasn't achievable.
Really?
Because that kind of stuff, like you weren't doing that kind of stuff. Even like going back through the TA forums, you can see there like being like a lot of back and forth at launch.
Okay, so they were trying to kind of like twist the ending in a little bit, just make it a little bit
Like I think it's a
unusual.
very interesting take on it because I don't see much horror games where like one, well, the horror is that particular, like it's a murderous person or something. No, this is like a woman that is just essentially like really upset with the situation, and this painter has like depending on what kind of playthrough you do, has very obsessive qualities. He's very fixated on his work.
Right.
There's like
Okay.
certain situations in the game like that can be like interpreted in different ways. Obviously, like when you get more collectibles, like a lot of the stuff leads into like a lot more backstory and that. Whereas then if you could go, you can go through Oblivious and just touch the stuff with the wife and realize how depressed and that kind of stuff as well. It kind of paints a different context
Okay.
to the story. Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that.
I did the base game. I got the Inheritance DLC to do, but I really enjoyed it just because like it is the like the it is one of those kind of games that you can get through like in 40 minutes, like watching a guide for doing like one playthrough, yeah. A completion is probably going to take you 10 hours, I would say, maybe 10 to 15, depending on how you're doing. But yeah, just it's one of those games that I think it like leaves you with like enough story and enough thoughts on like how some people can be like demented in their ways or pushed too far or just
Okay.
life can really just throw a fucking spanner in the
So
works.
how does that stack up? Is it something that needs a sequel with
Well,
what
it
they're
has a
doing?
sequel.
I
So
know it
like
has a sequel, but
so I was actually I was debating whether I'm gonna do Laser Fear 2, but I need to finish the DLC for this one. From all the reviews I've read, Layers of Fear 2 isn't as
Yeah.
impactful as the first.
And then they also
And
have, don't they have
they
like
got
a layer of fear or something?
Layers of Fear came out this year, which is essentially a remastered version of 1, 2 on the DLC,
Oh,
which
okay.
is horribly
Oh, no, I
named.
didn't.
But apparently that just that didn't really leave any way. Like, you know, nobody's really
Well,
it'll be
I
Bandai
mean,
Namco
well,
kind
I
of
thought it
stuff
was a
in a
new
while.
game, so
Yeah, well,
yeah.
that's yeah, they haven't marketed it well. So yeah, I'm very interested to see like how this. I'm very interested to see how the DLC goes because it's essentially like you playing as the child after the time has passed. And basically just going through the set like same kind of assets, same house and all that, but just reliving your childhood. So it's like the main story is essentially your lens of the painter and the wife. And the wife is a wonderful musician, so there's some like aspects around that as well. And then just yeah, the child going through and just kind of leaning towards the mother and the father and resentment there in that as well. Yeah. I haven't played much of it, so that's all I can say to that. But
Yeah, cool.
I like horror is usually a genre I don't care for because I think it goes for the easy jump scares and all that. I really like games that leave you thinking though, after you've put them down.
Yeah, it seems like with their games, they try to go down that road and they don't hit every time. Like,
Yeah, I don't think Blair Witch hit, for example.
And I mean, like the medium,
I
maybe
think
no
the
one had
medium
a.
was all right. Like I think it was very fixated on that one mechanic. I don't think I enjoyed it. Like going back to it now, I think like I have a more of appreciation to it, especially being like one of the first series games. But yeah, it's one of those things that like sometimes it won't hit entirely. Sometimes it will feel like a walking sim, which a lot of these
Yes,
horror sims
I'd be
horror.
very interested to see how the Silent Hill 2 game
Yeah,
comes
true.
out. So,
So yeah, that's essentially it with Games Gold stuff. The other like I've actually been playing quite a bit this week. So I played Vember, which I think I've talked about on the podcast for a while. I've been oh, pardon me. Been very interested in seeing how this game shaped up. There look, straight off the bat, I'm gonna say the only con I can come across, it is a very short story. This is a 1 hour user guide, you'll get all the achievements kind of situation. Saying that it is a damn good story, even if it is short. Just
Yes.
talking about, I would say like that level of like, you know, foreigners growing up in a, you know, different worlds.
I've heard it makes you hungry.
It does make you hungry. You're going
Yeah.
through, I honestly, I play this after dinner. I was
Okay.
like, all right, I'm cooking all this amazing Indian food. I'm not gonna order something tonight because it's like 10 p.m. and everything's like, shutting down and all that. Next day, got my butter chicken, got my naan, got ready and all that. Just having lunch. I was just like, beautiful. I had to have Indian for lunch the next day.
Yeah, look, I need look, it's just gonna push me over the edge. I'm gonna have to get some Indian if I play it, and maybe I'll have to play it every single time I want Indian.
You know what? This is one of those games that you'll just sit, you'll sit down, you'll play it. Like, this is a perfect, like, all right, I finished work early on a Friday. I'm gonna play this for an hour. We're getting the spread of different like Indian foods. But yeah, really highly recommend it. There are some missables in it, mainly pertaining to the scrolling through the phone. Use Welsh's Guide. I mean, you know what to expect from Welsh.
Yes,
Some very
I've
crude
heard
jokes,
he's done a
and
very good one, so.
pacing was really good. Yeah, really recommend. Going through Exoprimal. I booted that up yesterday. Okay, so I got my arm twisted to play Age of Empires from somebody outside the Tomb Hunting community. So I played Age of Empires. If there's one thing you can count on me like destroying other people in, it's Age of Empires. You don't challenge me to that. So
Right. So this
we
is
did.
somebody trying to even the playing field then.
Yeah. So this was playing 3-4, and then he was like, all right, nah, I don't want to play this anymore. Let's play Exoprimal. So I got my arm twisted, loaded up. I like it now.
Okay.
I have that itch that I had when I wanted to play Titanfall. And Titanfall,
Okay.
like, it just has that level of polish with the gameplay in that. It's not the moment, like, there isn't no mobility in that as much as Titanfall, like, where I could just jump everywhere. But I think the gunplay and all that is pretty solid.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many more surprises coming up, or if they're what they're adding to the game. But I mean, as I said earlier in the podcast, that I got dragged into this after playing Need for Speed. Well, I didn't get dragged in. You're like, hey, do you want to play? And I'm like, yeah,
You want to meet
sure.
some of my friends and play? And just
Yes,
like, yeah.
yeah, exactly. So, joined another Discord server and went from there. So, like, we got to the end of that one level, right? And there was the skyscraper. That
Yes.
was just there at the end, and we're like, okay, what's going on? There's like a pause, and the camera pans up, and there's a huge portal in the sky, and then they just start it bl starts bleeding dinosaurs, and you're just looking at it going, what the hell is going on
Like
here?
you're just awestruck, essentially.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
do think there is not there hasn't been any games like that in recent memory where it's kind of like
Yeah.
I've just taken it. Like, it's the game has allowed you to take it in. The last time I can think
Yeah.
that happening was Life is Strange True Colors, when you're going across the bridge at the start of the game and you just soak the music in. Like, this was just a mouth open, look into the stars and see dinosaurs falling. Kind
Just
of reference.
raining down on you. And I'm just like, well, yeah. So, I mean, it's just stupid fun. And like, yeah, hopefully this has some legs and they can do some more creative stuff like that with it. So.
I do hope for, like, I know this is going to get stale quickly. Like, I can already predict it's going to get stale, and I really hope they've got some way to address that, because the main gameplay loop, I think, is solid enough to a point. The gunplay feels good. The mechanics feel good. I very much worry, though, it's going to be something that I jump off after 10 hours. Like, there
Yeah.
won't be any drive to continue to push it. I really hope we have some different kind of like, I'm just throwing stuff off the top of my head, but like a 5v5 dinosaur mode or something. Like, you can become an enemy dinosaur. Sorry, you can become a dinosaur and basically destroy your enemies.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes
Yeah.
to the PvP elements. So that might be a very, like, asking a bit much, but
Well, I
I do
mean,
want some interesting takes.
One of the things that kind of came up in the chat while we were doing it last night is like if there was like a dino hunt mode where you had a PvP mode where two teams were hunting one dino down and then you had to compete to kill this dino. I mean, everything happens individually, right?
I will say
So
I love the fact that it came off me making discussion. I made a comment about the tracker for the achievements, just like,
yeah.
damn Capcom, like all I want is to be able to, like, 1,000 kills a dinosaur. Let me have the percentage tracker go up here. And then my other friend that isn't familiar with achievements and that as much is just like, oh yeah, Dino Tracker would sound cool.
Yeah. And like my mind just went straight to the original Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It's just like tracking dinosaurs through the wilderness or something like that, you know. So, but yeah, if they had more modes, maybe they have stuff we don't know about. But if you, yeah, they just, because you can see what the other team's doing, right? But it's
Yeah.
all completely separated. They're just shadows in the distance doing their stuff and you're doing your stuff. But it'd be nice to actually have some full on
The
competitiveness.
start of the match doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
That whole fleet up until, like, it just feels so tacked on.
I like it, but when you get, 6 or 7 games in and you've got people in your party going, "Oh, I don't want to do this mode," then you
Yeah.
know that people are getting bored way too fast. So I'm still having fun with it and I've got no problem playing with it at the moment. So more than happy to play. But yeah, the matches drag on for a bit and you've got to keep people engaged. Otherwise, that's what stops them. So,
Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. The two other games I've been playing, I have decided on the next massive thing after, like, my longer 200-hour completion kind of stuff. I'm doing Wasteland 3 with Stubby.
oh, really? Oh, well,
Yes.
that's
150,
great.
200 hours.
More people need to play Wasteland 3, including me, because I have not.
I didn't realize it was co-op, and I didn't
I
realize.
didn't know either.
Yeah, so I've only dived the Wasteland series. I've played a little bit more of one, maybe like half an hour to an hour, but the other ones essentially was to the first achievement, which I think was just like dying or hitting a party team member or something during the Game Pass challenge. So yeah, with it, we've been debating on different co-op games. He's a massive fan of turn-based games, so I thought this we thought this would be a really good fit. Now, I've always said how much of a fan I am of InXile's community stuff here. Their Twitter account, X account, whatever you want to call it, it goes off. One of the things that they did recently was they changed InXile to be in Twitter logo, like the Twitter bird
The Twitter
bio,
bird. Yeah, I pointed
which is
that out to
amazing.
you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you pointed it out to me.
You may or may
So
not have seen it already, but
I had seen it before, but I did appreciate that you pointed it out. Just stuff like that is amazing, yeah. What I didn't know is that carries out for running the games. Wasteland 3 has some really fucking funny moments. And I was not like, you see Wasteland on the cover and you're like, all right, depressing, like dark dystopian kind of, turn-based game, yeah. No, there are some like generally like laugh out loud kind of moments of there. Me and Stubby playing this in co-op, we're having like an absolute blast because I'll bring chaotic energy to the table and just start shooting people. And like I was half following a guide, half just messing around with what you can do with those kind of RPG mechanics. And it was we went to a strip joint sorry, we went to a casino in the game that had a strip joint up top. And there's some like quest lines that you have to like convince people to give you passwords and all that kind of stuff. There was like there's like some different drugs you can give people in the game to basically give you information. A lot of just stupid funny references. What else was there?
You can make mistakes in that game, though, can't you? You
Yeah, well, you
just
can do
lose
save
people.
manipulation and that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure there's an achievement for killing like everybody in a single town, like in a specific town kind of thing. What else is there? There's like you messing around mechanics. There's you picking certain party members. I think it's like very wide open to what you can achieve in the game. But then we're trying to go through optimal and create saves at the same time, trying to RPG kind of specs, make sure we've got all our bases covered, so we're doing mechanical that right and having particular weapons. There was one guy that we had to take down, which was putting on a fake Irish accent, and just you could find collectibles in the form of voice recordings of him just adapting his English voice to Irish,
Oh,
and
that's really interesting.
it's just like him just butchering it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
There was what else was there? There was this guy in the casino. We're essentially playing on the easiest difficulty first, so we can get a feel for the game, understand the mechanics, and then we're going to go through them on the hardest difficulty. The casino, there's like a computer that you need access to do like part of the mission, but the guy will just like keep on telling you off. Gets to the third time and he's just like, "Now you're dead." And then just like, "All right, cool. This is going to be a tough fight." Turn around, one hit him. I know it's not stupid in the sense of it being unrealistic, like not silly humor. Like it's just, what's the right word? Averting expectations. Kind of
Okay.
stuff. I've only played 6 or 7 hours, I'd probably say. Really enjoyed it. But yeah, we're just going to be working on that over time. Last game I really want to mention that I don't know what compelled me to go back to it. It was on the Hall of Fame list as well of games I need to go back to. But I booted up Rage 2.
Oh, I did see you playing that for a
And
bit.
all like I don't know why I had such a negative, I don't, look, I don't want to say negative perception, but I kind of had a
The game
perception. It was like
at
a
the
5 out of 10.
time already had a negative reception when it came out. It had some issues, but I mean, the people that were talking it up pretty well.
It's
So.
fun. It's really goddamn fun. The only main issue I have with the game is the not the UI, like the main menus in that are really clunky. Very easy to see delays in swapping between tabs, that kind of stuff. But when you're actually in the midst of it, it is very much like, all right, Mad Max, Cyberpunk, they've had a baby.
Yeah, I tried to play the first game and I didn't really get into it.
Seconds visuals, absolutely amazing. It's very much not a, I wouldn't call it a story-driven game. It's very much in that, go do, you got 3 different leaders, do this type of quest to complete this part of the map and that kind of stuff. But I'm out there having, massive fights with giant sandworms, and I'm just, taking down convoys with machine guns, just knocking cars off the road, doing racing. What else is there? Going through like sewer, like it has what's it has like very Outer World vibes as well, like in terms of a just open world.
Is it the kind of game that you'll be able to finish the story and then keep working on it, or are
I
you
believe so.
like...
There is a DLC. I actually can access the DLC at any time. I got
Okay.
quite confused to how to get back because
Yeah.
it isn't really signposted well that you can go back to the sewers until a certain mission.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see much online. And I think there was, I can't remember if there was one other thing I need to look up, but I'm just, in terms of how the gameplay feels and all that, like mech suit, slam, hit, that kind of stuff, incredibly fun. I think it's like a 40 to 50 hour completion,
Not too
but
bad for
yeah, it's
that
not too
kind of game.
bad.
Yeah.
It is one of those games that I think it's going to be very, what's the right word? It's going to be very easy to do the majority of the list, in a typical 20 to 30 hour sense. But the Iron Man mode and the There's like a hardest difficulty kind of thing.
They had that in the first game as DLC. Is it the same thing? It's
Yeah.
like the Wastelander mode or something,
Title
or
update, I think.
yeah, they had like an extra hard mode.
And the only other thing I want to mention too, the cheats work funny. There are cheats that disable your achievements, but I believe it's either the first one or the first two don't. And the first one actually doubles the amount of Fenrite crystals that you can get in the game because you need to collect basically every time you kill stuff and open loot chests and all that, you collect these crystals. You spend those crystals to unlock the section of the upgrade that you need, whether it be like a weapon upgrade or a exosuit kind of upgrade. And then you need cogs or that particular material to complete the upgrade.
Yeah, and how
So
do
it's like
you,
a
are they
first tier,
just in the
second tier.
world? You just go and find them in the world, or do you kill enemies?
Yeah, like Fenrite's like drop from, certain enemies or certain like chests, that kind of stuff. Like the double thing really helps. But yeah, the cogs and that are like quest lines and
Right, so very
that kind of,
targeted, specific kinds. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know when Mad Max's server shut down. Like I really wanted to go back to it, but I knew that that unattainable, like that discontinued achievement was there. This is really scratching that itch.
I have the enough done in that game to have that unlocked, but I know that if something happens to my save, I'm screwed. So I really do need to go back and finish Mad Max, because if I do the playthrough, I'll be able to unlock that achievement. But yeah, so yeah.
Like 70s around launch and that. But yeah, I'm it's yeah, it like just vehicular combat, Mad Max kind of style. And then there is an aspect of, I don't mean this as an insult, but like the Mad Moxie kind of arena kind of fight, but they're
Yeah,
not as
the
long.
stuff that I don't like in Borderlands.
Yeah. But like it's like a 10 minute to 15 minute
Yeah.
kind of thing compared. So
Yeah.
it's not so bad.
Yeah.
I'm actually to the point where I think like depending on how the other runs are, it's probably going to be a very easy one for me to recommend. But yeah.
Fair.
But yeah, that's essentially all I've been playing. Probably be talking about a little bit more Rage 2 next week as well. I put the leaderboard in before, but it looks like it has disappeared. Anyway, let me bring it up. We'll go through leaderboards next.
Yeah, you will have a fresh leaderboard. Anybody that earned achievements to overtake them
Cool.
would will know.
All right, so in third, we've got Martell 18. 20,000. Last thing he's been working on is Merge and Blade, which I didn't talk about. I've been really enjoying that as well. I mean, it's just a merge game with fighting mechanic, not fighting mechanics, like auto battler mechanics. Jimbot UK has 23,425, and the last achievement he had was Warhammer Vermintide 2. And Mad I've had I on 41,975 playing Spider Heck, which I also need to go and do at one point as well. Cool. Completion shoutouts. So we're going to add a new thing in this week where we're going to talk through a review of the week. Go for everybody else's first. Drunken Monkeys did Diablo 4, which massive props. I've still got three achievements I need to go back to. Moonzom did Batman Telltale and Stacking, which pretty sure both of those were games of gold. I know Telltale
Yes, at
Batman
least
was.
one of the one version of Batman was, and Stacking's the 360 one that's got the DLC included, I think, in Game Pass now.
Yeah, I need to do stacking as well, please. Looking for sorry LF
We got a lot of
L4D
double
pills.
find in here today.
Yeah, a lot of Double Fine this week. Full Throttle Remaster, Day of the Tentacle, and Fractured Minds. Super Bob went to Achievement Fest and did a whole bunch of 360 games, including the Japanese games that he got access to there. Rapture did Insurgency Sandstorm as well as Castle Walker with the easy 1K update. Shattered Sly did COD Black Ops, Firehawk did the Solitaire Conspiracy, Heavy Moogles did Ari and the Secret of Seasons, and Lord Mud did Halo 5. Keo, would you like to run us through the review, first review of the week?
Yes, so first review of the year. Well, not the first one, but this is the thing that we're going to be doing probably weekly now, if you could put in your reviews. And we'll try and shout out the best one or the one that we want to
We'll try
on the
and
show.
shout out one on the pod.
So this is by Shattered Sly for his Black Ops run through, and he says a lot of stuff can be said about Black Ops, and it's all positive. It's the best game from the entire Black Ops series and a top three Call of Duty. The campaign is incredibly unique, and I'd go as far as saying that the best Call of Duty campaign. But Modern Warfare 2 and COD 4 keep it competitive. It also brings one of the best multiplayer experiences ever, not to mention how it has the first of what should have been the only Nuketown.
Should have been
No,
the only new town.
yeah.
No. They're gonna keep milking that until
All
it's,
right.
yep. Keep going.
Zombies doesn't see it peak yet in Black Ops 1, but it still has a well-rounded catalog. Kino de Toten is the most overrated map of all time, and
Lies.
die on its hill over that. But it's still solid. Ascension introduced the first Easter egg ever and is enjoyable despite being easy. Shangri-La is all right. That's the only one that you actually need four people to do the Easter again with that. And Call of Dead is my personal favorite, and I love the ambience of Moon. Yes. So what do you think of our little review there, Mr. Shadow said?
Look, I will say Black Ops is honestly one of my, it is my favorite campaign. It is also the first Call of Duty I ever got into. I used to love doing the wager bet matches. Like, I still remember to this day being a teenager playing online for one of the first times, doing sticks and stone match, throwing a tomahawk across map in the last few seconds of match and bankrupting a friend. And getting a phone call like 5 minutes after, just absolutely like going off of me. Just absolutely amazing. But yeah, like I really enjoyed all the all the zombies matches. Like I love Kino. I think Kino's like one of my favorite maps. It is definitely an overused map, but I wouldn't call it overrated. And then yeah, like the only one I originally played was Call of the Dead. I never played Shangri-La and Ascension starting off, until like I, jumped in later on. But yeah, I would say one of the best Call of Duty games I've played as well. And the story is fantastic. Like a little bit of war, a little bit of espionage.
Yeah, look, a couple of years ago, I had a whole year where I was really just doing Destiny 2 and Call of Duty Easter eggs. So, and my aim was to watch as many Call of Duty YouTube video Easter egg runs as possible and do as many Easter eggs solo as I could. I'm not and like I didn't learn that many of them, but the ones that I spent time with, I spent a lot of time with them. We went through Shangri-La with a bunch of people. Kiku helped us with that. Call of the Dead's I would say Call of the Dead is probably, I mean, if you can play that by yourself, it's a bit of a wild ride, that one. That map is intense. If you really just don't know what you're doing, the other stuff is kind of like Shangri-La's bit of a loop. You can only really you'll always circle around and stuff. But yeah, I don't really remember Ascension a whole lot though. But yeah, I would.
Ascension, I think, is like really easy to get high rounds from memory, but I haven't played that much of it.
Yeah, but if I spent any time on that, I probably spent more time on the moon than any of the other Easter eggs, I think. So, yeah, I played pretty much every version of the moon, as much as I could solo. So,
And I would love a like a remastered Black Ops 1 just for the campaign. I
Well,
really like Black Ops 1 and 2's campaigns.
they're closing in on it. They can't have too many more gaps to fill before they start redoing these Black Ops games.
Yeah, I wonder if Treyarch's
I
actually
mean,
decided whether that will. But like, all the studios essentially just helping with the Modern Warfare kind of. I don't know. I honestly think
Yeah,
Black Ops is better than. Yeah.
well, I mean, I did all of Cold War and Vanguard pretty much solo, all the zombies and everything like
I
that,
did
and
Cold War.
I thought they were still great. They were still really good. I think the only Easter egg in Cold War I didn't do was the very last map, and it's because I didn't put anywhere near as much time in it. But yeah, so where they started to put these the stories into these the Easter eggs and stuff like that, I mean, yeah, it really, really got interesting. Moon was great. Loved
Yeah.
going through Moon and seeing that the final bit of that story, so
Yeah, Moon. Ugh. Man, we need a remake. I need a reason to.
or we could just go back and play some Call of Duty.
No, I need achievements.
I have every
I
single
can't just
Call of
fight.
Duty game installed on my hard drive,
I gotta finish.
except for the new ones because they're too big.
I gotta
So,
finish Cold War and four, and I gotta do.
yeah.
I gotta twist Matt's arm about doing Modern Warfare 2. Anyway,
Right. Yeah.
let's move along. Thank you, Shattered Sly, for putting that one in there. What challenge? I had notes about this. I'm trying to find them.
Yes.
Oh yeah, word challenge. So yeah, the word challenge has been guessed by Natalator. It was indeed Skatebird, which I am sure you can hit. You can hit Matt up on that. I'm sure he will be able to sort that out for you if he hasn't already. And then yeah, if you want to go and check out the word challenge, yeah, there's a cool little budgie doing a skateboard. Doing a Tony Hawk. Anyway. But
Yeah,
yeah.
so congratulations, and I'm sure we'll have a new word challenge for you soon.
Cool. Patreon shout outs. We'll quickly go through. Lee Howard, Mikhail KV, Natalator, Mad Lefty 2097, Admiral Awesome, Happy Moogles, Kung Fu Skills, Hack and Pwn, Cavalier 07, Old Mate Clown, Mark B, and McLovin Legend. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do the podcast or keep the lights running. So we really do thank you. Yeah, pretty much just going through the motions now. Discord, we have Discord, discord.io/hallofgamers. Come hang out with us, talk about achievements, talk about your thoughts on Exo Primal. Come. You know, tell me off that I for loving Black Ops 1 as much as I do compared to the other CODs. Yeah, and just come help us organize sessions for Crisis 3, which servers are shutting down.
Oh yeah, that's something that we started doing today as well, wasn't it? So,
We can talk about them like
yeah,
much
we
more next
will
week.
next week.
Twitch, if you're not aware, we do this podcast live on Twitch at Xbox All the Gamers. We usually do it Friday nights, AEST around 6:30 or 8:30 NZT. Or you can catch up with the podcast on YouTube or all your popular podcast apps. If you want to contact us, you can contact us by emailing us at hallofgamerspodcast@gmail.com, or you can hit us up at Twitter at hallofgamerspod. I do check the Twitter account sometimes now. If you want to help the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes and other platform podcasts such as Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, etc. And leave a review, tell your friends, retweet our tweets, or X our Zeets or the Z.X's. Z, yeah,
Oh,
I can't, yeah.
now it's just getting dirty.
Handcrafted letters to Elon. You write in questions to the show, and we'll endeavor to answer them, whether that be through the email or joining Discord as well. Keo, if people want to get in contact with you, where can they hit you
Okay.
up?
So, I stream on Twitch under Keel Live at Home, and those notifications for those streams come up on Twitter at Keo Live at Home. And if you want to catch the VODs for the streams that I do, you can actually go to at HTFG Play on YouTube for all my videos. So, what about you, Shadow?
You can pretty much find me at Shadowless Edge on everything. Twitch is Shadowless Edge. Sorry, Twitch and Instagram is Shadowless Edge underscore. Or just hit me up in Discord. I'm usually on playing something or another, just yeah, let me know. Otherwise, yeah, that's essentially been episode 87. We will catch you guys next week.
All right, have a good night.
Bye.